Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Mary, I know what I'm going to do tomorrow and the next day and next year and the year after that. I'm shaking the dust of this crummy little town off my feet and I'm going to see the world. Italy, Greece, the Parthenon, the Colosseum. Then I'm coming back here and go to college and see what they know. And then I'm going to build things. I'm going to build airfields. I'm going to build skyscrapers 100 stories high. I'm going to build bridges a mile long. Were you going to throw a rock? Hey, that's pretty good. What'd you wish, Mary?
Buffalo gals, can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight?
Buffalo gals,
can't you come out tonight?
Dance by the light of the moon. What'd you wish when you threw that rock?
Come on, tell
me.
If I told you, it might not come true.
What is it you want, Barry? What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down. Hey, that's a pretty good idea. I'll give you the moon, Mary.
I'll take it. Then what?
Well, then you could swallow it, and it'd all dissolve, see? And the moonbeams would shoot out of your fingers and your toes and the ends of your hair.
Isn't that a romantic speech? Guys, that's how you win a girl, okay? Merry Christmas, everyone. It is great to have you with us today. And we want to welcome everyone who's live here in the house and also those who are watching online. It's good to have you with us. We will be celebrating communion at the end. So those who are online who have your communion supplies, make sure that those are ready. The movie clip that you just saw is from the movie It's a Wonderful Life. It's playing now at the theater, so you can go see it if you want. But it's a story about George Bailey, a guy who had, even as a kid, had these dreams. You heard about those dreams. He wanted to build things and travel and go all over the world and make his mark. And he's telling Mary Hatch, the girl that he ends up marrying, what he wants to do. But right after this scene, George's uncle and brother pull up in a car and they tell him that his father had a stroke. George races home. His father ends up dying, and he cancels his trip to Europe. He was going to be going to Europe and then to college, like he said, but he canceled it all to stay and take on his father's business, a building and loan that built and financed homes for people in the community. It was the one institution in town that Mr. Potter, a cutthroat businessman, did not own. And in this story, over and over and over, George gives up his dreams. But the thing that I think we need to realize is that even if he would have accomplished all of his dreams, he would have still had a miserable, empty life. And the reason for that is what we're going to be talking about today, because we've been learning the keys to a wonderful life. How do you have a wonderful life? And this morning, I want to share with you the ultimate key. This one key, if you do not do this one, you can do the other three keys, which we'll talk about in a moment. If you do not do this one thing, you will not have a wonderful life. In your notes this morning, the ultimate key to a wonderful life is surrendering everything that we want and making room for what God wants. If we want a wonderful life, then we need to lay down and set aside everything we want, all of our plans, all of our dreams, all of our desires, and we need to make room and say, God, I'm an open book. You have an open door to my life. You can do whatever you want. I want what you want. Your desires are my desires. That is the ultimate key to a wonderful life. In the movie, George said, hey, I'm shaking the dust off of my feet from this crummy little town. I'm going to Greece, Italy, the Parthenon, the Colosseum. Then I'm going to come home, go to college, see what they know. I'm going to build airfields. I'm going to build skyscrapers hundreds of stories tall. I'm going to build bridges a mile long. Now, is there anything wrong with traveling? Is there anything wrong with building things? Is there anything wrong with making money or doing things? And the answer to that is no. But the question is, What did God want George to do with his life? And that's a question all of us need to answer. What does God want me to do with my life? George stayed at the building alone, and I know many people think, well, that was the plan, that was what he was supposed to do, but I'm going to throw something out today for those. How many have seen the movie? Just raise your hand. Okay, many of you have. How many haven't? So you're kind of going, I don't know what it is. I encourage you to watch it sometime. It's a fun movie. But here's the thing. What if it was not God's will for George to stay and do the building and loan? What if God had a different plan? George has this desire to travel. You know, I believe that God gives you and me desires and passions so that we can use them for his glory and for his good. What if God's plan was for George to be a missionary who went around the world sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or what if God's plan, George, he was into like making money. What if God's plan was for him to be a successful businessman so that he could finance missionaries and different ministries all around the world? What if God's plan wasn't for him to stay and take care of the building and loan? We'll never know what God's plan was for George because George never surrendered his life to God. The word surrender, to many people, that's an S word. It's a swear word. You want me to surrender? Because we associate surrender with losing. We associate surrender with losing. You know, stick up your hands, waving the white flag. I give up. I'm done. But friends, in God's economy, surrender is winning. We win when we surrender to God. We don't lose anything. Jesus put it this way when he was talking about, if you want to be a Christ follower, if you want to follow me, in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. So let's just pause right there. Jesus said, if you're going to be a Christ follower, you must deny yourself. You deny your desires, your dreams, your wants, your wishes. You deny yourself and you pick up your cross. The cross was an instrument of death. It was crucifixion. If you were carrying your cross, you were on your way to die. And what Jesus is saying, you need to die to what you want and embrace what God wants. You need to be open and say, God, whatever you want, my life is a blank check for you to write. And whatever you ask of me, that's what I will do. And Jesus said, that's what you do if you want to follow me. He goes on to say in verse 24, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. Did you catch who that invitation is open to? Whoever. That's anyone in this room. That's anyone outside of this room. That's every single person who's watching online today. Whoever will say, God, I'm going to lose my life. I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to surrender. That's how you find your life. And for those who are trying to hold on to their life and say, well, I want to be in control. I don't want to surrender to God. That's when you lose. The ultimate key is surrendering to God. And here's the thing. You can do the other three keys and not be surrendered, and it's not going to matter. For example, last week we talked about It's a Wonderful Life. What do we need to do? Yeah, pray for it. There you go. You got it. We need to pray for our life. Prayer is important. Why? Because that's how we develop a relationship with God. The way we develop any relationship is by communication. That's how Rebecca became my wife. I shared with you last week how we communicated. The more I got to know her, I got to know the direction and vision for her life, and it was mine. That's how we came together, because as we communicated, we grew closer. For us to get closer to God, we need to communicate. Prayer is essential. But here's the key. If you are not surrendered to God, your prayers will all be selfish. Your prayers will be all about what you want. You won't be open to what God wants. And so prayer will not be as effective. You will not be as close to God because you're trying to manipulate and tell God what to do all the time instead of being open to Him. The week before that, we talked about It's a Wonderful Life. We need to share it. We need life-giving relationships with other people. People that were like iron sharpening iron, were making each other better, were challenging each other, were brothers born for times of adversity, were friends who love at all times. But if we're not surrendered to God, there's a very good chance we'll end up using people instead of having a mutual relationship, and we will disenfranchise ourselves. We won't have the closeness that we need. So it's important to be surrendered to God so that our selfish motives are not being manipulative and controlling in our relationships. And then in the first week, we talked about it's a wonderful life. We need to treasure it because you were created on purpose for a purpose. You are God's unique treasure. He has designed you. He wove you together. You are an exquisite tapestry of God, and He has plans and purposes, days lined out for you that were written for you, and we need to experience God's meaning and purpose in life. But here's the thing. I know people who use their gifts and talents and their design for God, and yet they're not fully surrendered. I see it sometimes and people say, well, I'll do this in the church, but I don't want to do that. Maybe sometimes God calls people to a place of leadership as a layperson, not as a pastor or a missionary, but I want you to lead this ministry. I want you to take up this endeavor. And it's like, God, I that's too much time. That's too much energy. You know, I lead in the work world. I don't want to lead in church. And we have all these excuses for God, but we'll serve Him a little bit, but not totally. I've even known some people that God has called them later in life, or sometimes as students, as college or high school students, to go into ministry, to be a pastor, to be a missionary. And they say, God, no, I would rather do something else. So they're afraid, for whatever reason, to completely surrender the design God has given them and to walk in His path. Friends, if we're not fully surrendered, we can't have a wonderful life. Now, I realize as you're here this morning, you came here Christmas Day thinking, man, I want to hear about the little baby in the manger and so cute and feel warm and fuzzy. And I wasn't expecting a message like this. Craig, this is pretty strong here. But do you realize that the Christmas story is really a surrender story? It's completely about surrender. Jesus was up in heaven, a place of perfection. No war, no sickness, disease, injury, no suffering, no pain. And yet Jesus willingly surrendered perfection to come to earth and be born as a helpless baby in a human body that could experience pain and suffering and agony. Jesus lived a sinless life. He surrendered His desires and says, God, I want to please You. So He surrendered His life. And then at the end of His life, He surrendered His life and He died on the cross. Jesus came and surrendered everything. Christmas is all about surrender. So if that's what Jesus did, and He says to follow His example, that means you and I need to lose our lives for His sake, because only then will we find them and have the wonderful life that He wants us to have. Now, we're going to take a look in the next few minutes that we have at three areas that we need to surrender. They're found in Luke chapter 9, and we're going to see three gentlemen, three guys who are confronted with different areas in their life. Jesus is going to pinpoint things in their life that they need to surrender. Luke chapter 9, you can turn there if you like. In verse 57, it says, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to Him, 'Lord, I will follow You wherever You go.' Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head.'" This first area God is calling us to surrender is to surrender our comfort and convenience. If we're going to experience a wonderful life, then we need to surrender our comfort and our convenience. This guy noticed he volunteers to follow Jesus. Jesus never said to him, "Will you follow me?" He just comes up and says, "Lord, I will follow You." Now, what's interesting, we're just told this is a guy, but when we read Matthew chapter 8, verse 19, That's a parallel passage. A parallel passage is when a different writer of the Gospels records the same story, and many times the different authors will include some details that another one left out and vice versa. Matthew tells us that this guy was a scribe. Now, scribes were experts in the Old Testament Judaistic law. The scribes were the public teachers of the people, and they held undisputed sway over the people of that day. The scribes were a sect of the Pharisees, and they had more prestige than the priests. In fact, when they went to feasts, they had the places of honor. They were given the chief seats in the synagogues. They were part of the upper class of society. They dressed like nobility, and so there was a lot of wealth, privilege, prestige that came with being a scribe. This scribe says to Jesus, "Wherever you go, Lord, I'll follow you." Now, Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew the kind of lifestyles that he's used to. And he's saying, "Are you sure? Do you really know what you're committing yourself to if you follow me? Hey, I don't even have a home, a room, a bed, or a pillow. I have no place to live. If you want to follow me, you need to give up your comfort and your convenience." This scribe thought, if I follow Jesus, it's going to make me wealthy, it's going to make me affluent, it's going to give me a prosperous, advantageous life. But Jesus said, hey, I don't have anything. And here's the thing, sometimes people think, if I follow God, then God's got to bless me. Friends, God doesn't have to do anything for us because he's already done the most important thing for you and me, and that he saved us from going to hell by sending Jesus Christ to come to earth as a baby to live a sinless life and die on the cross for our sin. God has already given us the greatest gift we could ever ask for. And there are many people, when they give their lives to Christ, instead of experiencing prosperity and success, they experience poverty and suffering. All around the world, there are people today that are suffering because they've chosen to follow Christ. Pastors in China that have been imprisoned, or other Christians that have been imprisoned. People in India that are being attacked by other Hindus as they've converted out of Hinduism, or people in Islamic countries, they've converted from Islam, and when they receive Christ, it's a death sentence for them. You see, giving us ourselves to Christ as we surrender to him gives us a wonderful life, but it doesn't give us a perfect life. It doesn't give us a prosperous, successful life on this planet. But we have eternal life, a place where riches are laid up in heaven, and moth will not eat it, rust will not decay it. It's riches that last forever. Jesus said, what does it profit a person if you gain the entire world and lose your soul? You know, we look at our society and we see people who've become successful. We see actors and actresses. We see athletes making more in one game than we will make in a year, more in one season than we'll make in a lifetime. There's CEOs that make big money. They've got all this affluence. They have everything the world could want. But these people are divorcing. These people are miserable. They're going to drugs and alcohol, trying to escape, trying to deal with the pressure, the pain, the whatever is happening in their life. It's not enough, and some even come to the point where they take their lives. We can just look at the affluent in society and realize that having success, prosperity, comfort, and convenience does not satisfy. It doesn't fill that void in our life because each person is made in the image of God. Sin separates us from that image. We need to be restored to a relationship with God, and that's the only thing that will fill the God-shaped void in our lives. King Solomon, he was like George Bailey. He built great buildings and big, you know, fancy things. He did what George wanted to do. Plus, he acquired money and gold, silver, all these different things. He had success. And Solomon said, vanity of vanity, It's all vanity. It's all futile. It's all meaningless. If you're putting your hope in the riches of this world, success of this world, in comfort and convenience, then you're going to be sadly disappointed. I don't think there's not a person here who would say, I sign up for suffering and difficulty. I mean, just think about it. Your Christmas wish list that you've got, how many of you said, I want something that's worse than what I've already got? I want a computer that's worse. No, my computer is slow. It's not running. I need a better computer. I want a better phone. I want a better TV. I want a better car. I don't know if anyone's getting a car for Christmas. I got a car for Christmas. I got a brand new red Corvette. Remote controlled, okay? I wish it was a life-size one. I wouldn't have driven it today because it's not good on the ice, but boy, I'd have fun a few months from now. But we all, you know, we want something, that tool, that gadget that's going to make our life easier, better, to give us more comfort, more ease, more pleasure. When it comes to our kids, we're always looking, how can we help our kids get a leg up? I'll send them to sports camp so they can be better in sports, so they can maybe get a scholarship and go to college. Why do we want them to go to college and get a good education so they can get a great job and have a life of comfort and convenience and blessing and prosperity? It is so easy for us to focus on that, but if that is our goal and we're not willing to surrender that to Jesus and say, God, I want what you want, we're not going to have a wonderful life. So surrendering comfort and convenience is the first thing that we need to surrender. Let's take a look at the second thing this morning that we need to surrender in our lives, and that is we need to surrender our now. N-O-W. We need to surrender our now. What do you mean by that, you say, Craig? Well, look at verse 59 of Luke chapter 9. Jesus said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Now, at first glance, it seems like Jesus is being a little cold-hearted to this guy. I mean, it's like, man, his dad died and you don't even get to go to the funeral? But that's not the case at all. You see, in Israel, during this time period, when a person died, they didn't wait 2, 3, 4 days to bury him. They buried him the exact same day they passed away. So if this man's father was dead that day, he wouldn't be there with Jesus. He'd be back home at the funeral. Now, maybe his father was sick. Maybe he was ailing. Maybe there wasn't much long to live. But this guy is saying, Lord, my dad's alive. He doesn't say that, but that's the situation. His dad is alive. He says, let me follow you after my dad dies. When is that? We don't know. Does anyone know when they're going to die? You don't know when you're going to die. God knows when you're going to die, but we don't know. This was an open-ended thing. This guy says, I'll follow you, Lord, but not now. Later. I'll give my life tomorrow, or maybe next week, or next month, or next year, but not now. And Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you need to surrender your now. Is there something God has spoken to you, something he wants you to do, and you're saying, not now, God, later. I'll do it later. Maybe you're a workaholic and you need to change your ways. God's been speaking to you that you need to prioritize your spouse and your kids. You're saying, well, just wait till I get this promotion. Wait till I make so much money. Wait till I pay off the house. Wait till I get the new car. Then I will stop working as much and I'll prioritize that. About 30 years ago, God had that conversation with me and he says, Craig, you need to prioritize your wife and your soon-to-be-born baby girl, your oldest, my firstborn. And God said, Craig, if you don't change your life, you're going to lose your family. I had to make some changes. Maybe you're dealing with anger, and God's saying, you need to take care of this. You need to go to some counseling. That's a conversation that my wife had with me about 20 years ago. And she says, I can't handle this anymore. You've got to do something. So I went and I realized there was a lot of stuff that I had buried from being a kid, a lot of issues that I hadn't taken care of, and I had to deal with it. Maybe you're here this morning and there is someone that you're holding a grudge against. They've offended you, and God's saying, you need to surrender your bitterness, your unforgiveness to them. And you're saying, uh-uh. You feel like by being bitter, you're punishing them, but really you're punishing yourself. You're poisoning your soul. Some of you, maybe you're here today and you don't need to forgive an individual, but you need to forgive the body of Christ, church as a whole. Maybe this is the first time you've been in church in a long time because something happened to you in church. And I know a lot of people who are Christians, but they hate the church. They say, I love you, Jesus, but I hate your bride. Now, I don't know about you, but if you say, I like you, Craig, but you hate my wife, you got a problem with me, okay? Something you also don't realize, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're part of the body of Christ, and in a way, you're hating yourself. You cannot experience all that God has for you. Your destiny is meaning and purposes if you're cut yourself off from the rest of the body. And maybe you need to forgive. You say, well, I can't trust him. And you know, I apologize if you've been hurt, because you know what? Sometimes Christians can be some of the most hypocritical, judgmental, mean, negative people there are. I know I've been hurt by some of them. I've had to forgive them. If you hold on to bitterness, bitterness will separate you from God and it'll bring destruction in your life. And God's saying to some of you today, you need to surrender your bitterness, your unforgiveness. Some of you this morning, God is speaking to you about how you handle your finances. Maybe you spend and spend and spend, and maybe the reason for that is that you feel if I just get more, you're trying to fill a void that only God can fill. Some of you maybe need to start making a budget, or maybe you have a problem with gambling. It started out as fun, but now you're addicted and you are up over your head in debt and you don't know what to do and you need to get some help. For some of you, maybe your addiction isn't gambling, but it's drugs, alcohol, pornography. Maybe it's food. You're addicted to food and you've got an eating disorder. Friends, if God is speaking to you about any issue in your life, don't say tomorrow, don't say later, don't say not now. But if you know God's talking to you about something, surrender your now, because only then can you begin to find the peace and the fulfillment, the destiny that God has for you. And there might be some of you that God has been speaking to you saying, hey, you need to become a Christian. You need to surrender your life to Christ, become a follower of Christ. And for years you've said, not now, not now. Friends, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. Surrender your now. That's what Jesus was saying to this guy. If you want a wonderful life, you've got to surrender your now. You've got to surrender your comfort and convenience. And then the third situation, the third guy Jesus talked to, he said, you need to surrender your relationships. You need to surrender your relationships. In Luke chapter 9, verse 61, another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now the New Testament, it's written in the Greek language. So this is written in the Greek language. And Greek scholars say that the way this is written, it implies that this guy had already been asked on a previous occasion to follow Jesus. So Jesus said, come and follow me. Now at this time, this guy is saying, I'll follow you. Oh, but wait, let me go say goodbye to my family. The question is, if he already had the invitation and he's here with Jesus now, why didn't he already say goodbye to his family, to those who lived in his house? Maybe he was going to do it. When he got there, he remembered them and that pull, they pulled him back from following Jesus. And sometimes there are people in our lives that are pulling us like a magnet away from God, from following God. Sometimes, and check, check, everything's good, Marty. I got battery. There we go. We're back. We're back, but I forgot where I'm at. Relationships, surrender. Let me think here. Remember. Okay. Our relationships are pulling us back from God. Maybe there are people that they're really unhealthy for us. And instead of giving us a spiritual passion to lead us to God, they drain us of our spiritual fire. They quench us and we find ourselves compromising and just being wishy-washy and not really going after Him. Sometimes they're leading us directly into sin, leading us into temptation instead of out of temptation. Sometimes our relationships, maybe it's like, God, I'm single and I want to be married. And you're not really seeking God for who He wants you to marry. And you're saying, God, I'll just take whoever comes along. And you need to be waiting on God for His plan for your life. For some of us, our relationships, they're family. And our family, what are they going to think if I become a Christian? Or what are my friends going to think if I become a Christian? My mom and dad, when they received Christ, they were the first people on both sides of the family to receive Christ. And I tell you, we became the joke of the family. They laughed at us. They ridiculed us. We left the mainline denomination we were in. They made fun of us. We were the black sheep of the family. But slowly over time, family members on both sides began to receive Christ. And now there are several on both sides. And it's funny. One of my cousins one time said, we used to make fun of you, now we're one of you. But it was tough for mom and dad because their family was pulling them away from the commitment they made to Jesus. And what about your relationships that you're in this morning? Are they iron sharpening iron? Are they friends who love you at all times, brothers born for adversity, spurring you on to love and good deeds? Are they kind of like a vampire sucking the spiritual life out of you? If you want a wonderful life, you've got to surrender your relationships to Jesus Christ. George's dad, he had this model. Here's a picture here from the movie. And hung underneath his picture, it says, all you can take with you is that which you have given away. All that you can take with you is all that you have given away. You know, George wanted to do all these things. Acquire these things, go these places, do these things. I believe that if George would have done all those things and fulfilled his every heart's desire, he would have been like Mr. Potter, a warped, frustrated old man when he's at the end of his life because he hadn't surrendered to Christ. Because it's true. What George's dad was saying is what Jesus said. If you want to save your life, you've got to lose it. You've got to surrender it. You've got to give it away. Jesus said, no one takes my life, but I lay it down. And this morning, God is asking us to surrender our lives to Him. To surrender comfort and convenience. To surrender our now. To surrender our relationships. In Luke chapter 2, verse 7, talks about Mary. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. My question is for you, is there room in your heart for Jesus? Is there room in your heart for everything God wants in your life? Or is your life so full that there's no space for Christ? No space for His plans and purposes. You are holding on to everything. We said it at the beginning. The ultimate key to a wonderful life is surrendering everything that we want and making room for everything that God wants. Our worship team is going to sing this song. It's called Make Room. And as they do, I want you just to examine your life, to let God speak to you and let Him pinpoint things in your life, areas in your life that He wants you to surrender. And when they're finished, I'll come back and lead us in a time of response and then communion.
Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. I'll make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. Shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my. Your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. And I will make room for you to do whatever.
Everything and chase after what God wants for you. I'd like everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes. I want to talk to two groups of people today. The first group are those of you who are not Christians, you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in, I'll dine with him and he with me." Friends, Jesus wants to come into your life and have a relationship with you, just like a friend would come in and have dinner with you, sit down with you, talk with you. He wants a relationship with you. And this morning, is your door open? Is there room? Just as when Mary and Joseph knocked on the door of the inn, and they said, "Is there any room?" And, "No, there's no room." What is your response to Jesus knocking on your heart? Is there room for him? Are you willing to surrender everything? You see, God loves you so much, he gave Jesus to die for your sin, because our sin separates us from God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. It's eternity in hell, being separated from God, suffering in pain and agony. But God did not want that to happen to you and I. He gave us Jesus Christ so you and I can have eternal life. And if we receive God's forgiveness and his leadership, we realize that we're sinners, that we've done wrong, and we ask God to forgive us. And then we realize that we need to surrender control of our life and let God be in charge. Say, "God, I want what you want, not what I want." When I surrender and lay my life down, we have that relationship with God. If you're here this morning, whether you're in the house or you're watching online, how many would say, "Craig, I need a relationship with God. I need to deny myself, pick up my cross, and follow Christ. I'm opening the door of my heart. I'm surrendering." If that's you, you want to give your life to Christ, just put your hand up and you can put it back down. How many here this morning, you'd say, "That's me. I need to do that this morning." Just put your hand up and you can put it back down. Anyone here today? Maybe those of you, you're watching online, and God's speaking to you about where you're at, and you realize that you need to surrender your life to Christ. I'd like you, just in the comfort of your living room, bedroom, wherever you're at, family room, just lift your hand and say, "God, I want to get right with you." Maybe there's some of you here today, you have followed Jesus at one time, but you know you're not in a right place with him. You need to recommit your life. You have fallen away, and you need to get right with God. And you'd say, "Today, I'm making a new surrender, a fresh surrender." If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand? Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else this morning? Thank you. There in the back. Anyone else today? You'd say, "I want to resurrender my life to Christ." In a moment, I'm going to pray with everyone, but I want to transition now, and I want to speak to a second group of people. And that's the rest of you who I'm assuming most or all of you are followers of Jesus, because you didn't raise your hand. And so my question is for you, as our team was singing that song about making room for God and surrendering, what did God speak to you? What did he say you need to surrender? Any convenience or comfort? Anything in your now that you've been saying, "Well, not now, but later," and you've been procrastinating? You know that today I'm going to give it up to God. Maybe it's a relationship, but if God's speaking to you about something you need to surrender, I want you just to raise your hand. Just put your hand up high. Thank you. Thank you. I see many hands going up. Anyone else, you'd say, "God's talking to me. I want everything God has. I realize, man, the way to gain," thank you, "the way to gain is by surrendering." Anyone else, you'd say, "I'm surrendering to God today. I want all that he has for me." I'm going to say this prayer, and I'd like every person to repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I love you so much. I know you love me because you surrendered everything. You gave your life for my sin. I know I've done wrong. Wash me clean. Please forgive me. I surrender my life. Become my leader. I commit everything to you. I want what you want. Thank you, God, for loving me and dying for me. Help me to live for you. I surrender it all. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you, for those who said, I'm surrendering something to God, write it down either on that worship program that you've got or take one of the prayer cards, write it down. Because here's the thing. Over the next few days, especially as we go into Christmas and we be with family, open presents, it'll be easy to forget what God spoke to you about. And you want to move forward in that and not just walk out of here and forget what God said to you. Because God has something greater in store for you. And for those of you who says, I'm receiving Christ or rededicating my life to Christ, I want you to know that heaven is celebrating right now. You know how I know that? Because the Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice when a sinner comes home. I believe that is because Jesus, when he was coming to earth, the angels said, we're calling him Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sin. And as you've given your life to Christ, you've been saved from your sin. And heaven is rejoicing because that purpose that the baby came has been fulfilled. So can we celebrate with the angels in heaven this morning? Let's just celebrate with them. Thank you, God. Thank you for speaking to people and bringing them to you and giving them your love and your forgiveness. We're going to celebrate communion, so I'd like you to take your elements right now. If you did not receive one when you came in, just slip your hand up high. Our ushers are ready to pass them out to anyone who didn't receive it. There's one way in the back there, one up front. If you just hold it high to get your communion this morning. And you can get it ready. It's self-contained. The bread's on the top, so you want to peel that back, and then underneath is the juice. Some people wonder, why do we celebrate communion? Because communion is a picture of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And Jesus told us to do it. He says, remember what I've done for you. Really, it's a picture of surrender. The bread that you're holding there, Jesus likened it to his body. He says, my body is going to be offered up for sin. The Apostle Paul said from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I'm going to pray for the bread, and then we'll partake. Lord God, as we hold this piece of bread, Jesus, we remember that you took on a frail body that could experience pain and suffering for the first time in your life. You surrendered perfection in heaven so that you could bear our sicknesses, our sorrows, and most of all, our sin. And we are so grateful that you did that for us. Thank you for opening up heaven, for giving us access to God, that we can be loved and we can know you and have your presence in our lives. Lord, I pray as we partake of what symbolizes your body, that you would make our bodies whole, our souls whole. Heal those that need healing. God, bring comfort, joy, provision, and strength to all those who need that today. We thank you for being Emmanuel, God with us. Let's partake together. The Apostle Paul continued, he said, in the same manner, Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. I'm going to pray for the cup, and then we'll partake together. Lord Jesus, we're grateful for shedding your blood that has given us forgiveness. God, it washes away all of our guilt and all the shame and condemnation. Lord, you've made us whole. And God, the sweetness of this juice reminds us of the sweetness of a relationship with you, and that you are coming again, and we're going to live with you forever. And we say thank you. We look forward to that day. Thank you for coming the first time. Help us to live for you and to tell others about your sacrifice until you come again. Let's partake of the cup. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to stand your feet this morning. And as we close, we're going to sing the Christmas carol, Joy to the World. And one of the lines in that song is, let every heart prepare him room. As you sing it, make room for God to do everything in your life that he wants to do. Let's sing it together.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. He rules the world with truth.
Wonderful, isn't it? I pray you have a wonderful life as you surrender everything to God. All right? Merry Christmas, everyone. God bless you. Have a great holiday season. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless. Have a great day.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.